fucking preach it at the same time. It's an overload. Yeah. But anyway, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your presence with us this morning. Let your Spirit move in and through us. Enlighten us to do all the things you would have us do. Speak to us, O Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. I'd like to talk this morning about baptism, using some special words. I'd like to take you back to the time of your own baptism, or if you have not been baptized, yet to assure you of the great promises you have to look forward to. The first word that is important in understanding baptism is the word holy, holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is a moment in time when time seems to stand still, and when we are able to see and understand things that may not be visible to us most of the time. It is an outward and visible sign of deeply abiding spiritual reality. Think about a swift moving mountain stream. The movement on the surface of the water is often so fast that we can't see below the surface. Then, every once in a while, there's a spot where the water slows down and forms a quiet pool. There and then, you're able to see deeply into the world beneath the surface of the water. Holiness is something like that. It is when something holy happens. And as such, it is transparent time which you can see through into something deep inside of time. It is a moment when you're able to catch a glimpse of the almost unbearable preciousness and mystery of life. Needless to say, the church isn't the only place where the holy happens. Holy moments can occur at any time, in any place, and to anybody. Watching someone get born, falling in love. I made eye contact with this young man over here. A high school reunion. Someone coming to see you when you're sick. A meal with people you love. Looking into a stranger's eyes and finding out that they're not a stranger at all. If we weren't blind as bats, we might see that life itself is holy. At times, God's holiness may seem to overwhelm us, pushing us beyond our comfort zone. There may be a power and urgency about God that we do not expect. Things do not always happen the way we think they will. There is a story about an old Zen master who was known throughout his country as a great spiritual leader. One day, a young man came to him and said, "Master, teach me to pray." The old man said, "First you must come with me to the river." And taking the young man down into the river, he said, "Now I'm going to hold you under the water for just a moment." The young man thought this was a little strange, but he went along with it. A few moments passed, and the old man held him under. A full minute passed, and he began to need oxygen, but still the old man held him under. A second minute passed, and the young man began to panic and thrash about. Still the old man held him under. Finally, just as he was about to pass out, the old man let him up. "When you want to pray," he said, "as badly as you just wanted to breathe, then come back and I'll teach you to pray." There is a power and an urgency about holiness that is unexpected at times and frightening. God's holy presence may suddenly become as life and death as the next breath we take. We will note that immediately upon being baptized, Mark says the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the desert to be tested. Does God always lead us to places that are safe and comfortable? Not always. We also speak of baptism as belonging, being part of a group. And this is good because it can be a really dangerous place out there. And it's for this reason, I think, that no one is baptized in isolation. Who took part in our baptism? We remember that when Jesus sent out his disciples to engage in ministry, he always sent them out two by two. There are no lone rangers. We need the help and support of the baptizing community. Some years ago, a clergy person I know got into deep trouble. Seems he was using the church computer to connect to websites on the internet that were, shall we say, less than wholesome in their content. We were told that he had been going up to the church in the middle of the night. That was when he was making those bad choices. That should have been a warning sign to anybody, and to him, too. We do not need to be out prowling around in the middle of the night, all alone. It is spiritually dangerous out there. When we separate ourselves from one another and the larger community, it almost always places us at certain risk. We need to stick together. As you think about the story of your own baptism, or as you look forward to it, you're probably going to think about people, many people, or perhaps just a few, who figuratively, or maybe literally, come down to the river with you and stand in line with you, just as Jesus stood in line waiting to be baptized by John. We needed those people then, and we still need them now. Our baptism continues to ask us, with whom have you been sent out? Who are your companions in the journey? Who are our partners in this endeavor? Who blesses us and supports us in all we do? Who picks us up and dusts us off? Whom do we look to for guidance and protection? I think here of our wonderful team of elders who take good care of us. Baptism reminds us to take care of each other in Christ, for we are each other's unspeakable treasure. One final thought about the community is that it represents all generations of people, young and old. For example, I believe that one of the things we should all try to do as best we can is to remain steady in praise and thanksgiving to God. Many years ago, this lesson was taught again to me by a 7-month-old baby from Sierra Leone named Chuka Uguanyi. We discovered while on a family retreat that the only word Chuka could say was Alleluia. And he sang Alleluia, Alleluia, all day long. He was in constant praise. It occurred to me that this was clearly a sign of divine favor, and we would all be able to tell him about the time back when Alleluia, Alleluia was the only word he could say. The generations are there to protect us, encourage us, teach us, and show us the way, both young and old. And believe me, as I get older, I'm aware that the young have much to teach. And if we don't listen to them, we're going to lose out. And what is in a name? We are all given a connection at our baptism whenever it occurred. It was the same for Jesus. There he was in the Jordan River. For the first time, he is stepping out onto the stage of public life. At that moment, Luke says, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And what did the Spirit say? You are my beloved, the Son of God. Interesting. Think back to the very beginning, to what the angel Gabriel told Mary. He said, the Holy Spirit will come down so that the child will be called the Son of God. And here was Jesus first appearing, and the Holy Spirit comes down and calls him the Son of God. And as it was for Jesus, so it is for us. At our first calling, as we step out onto the stage as young adults, or at other times for that matter, the words that we hear are all about the delight of God and His beloved. God's chosen one, marked, called by name, and sealed as Christ's own forever. When was the last time someone called you beloved? It is something we all need to hear on a regular basis. Our name is beloved. And we do not have to earn it or create it or bring it about in any way. It comes to us as a free gift, precious and undeserved. I want to ask you to close your eyes for a moment and visualize God reaching out and calling you beloved. And pause with that thought. Just savor it. Okay, you can open your eyes. This is extremely difficult for us in this culture to understand because we are so concerned that every moment be used productively and that we have earned everything we get. Free gifts are just not something with which we have much experience. In his book, Blessings of Imperfection, Peter Fleck tells a story about a free gift. Many years ago, we know a family, including a mother, a father, and five children, one of whom, a little girl, had been born with severe brain damage. She could not sit up and was unable to speak. She died before reaching adolescence. She spent her apparent useless life, or so some people thought, lying in a bed in the sunniest room of the house at the top of a short flight of stairs just above the family room. Several times during the day, One or another member of the family, a parent or child, would go up to the girl's room and keep her company. When she died, some people said it was a blessing. But the family was devastated, and I'm sure that they are mourning her passing still after all these years. When the mother was asked why the family grieved so deeply for a child who could not speak or move around among the family, her answer was, "You do not understand. Whenever one of us was sad or happy or joyful or depressed, we would go up to her room and laugh or cry, or just put our head on the pillow next to hers. The room was always quiet, and when we left, we would feel restored." "But she couldn't even speak," people said. "That's right," the mother answered. "She could not even speak. In the sunniest room of the house, at the top of the stairs, family members were able to find, in the presence of this very special child, a holy place of rest where they did not have to make or do or accomplish anything, and they were able to relax and let go and feel loved and restored." This is the name given unconditionally. Your name is Beloved. And you will find that name in the sunniest room of the house, at the top of the stairs. We celebrate the primacy of God's act in baptism. It comes to us as a gift. And the best we can do is reach out and take it to ourselves. And then become part of the family. Learn our stories. Sit at our table. Share in our family meals. Live in our home. And participate with us in both the joys and privileges and responsibilities of family life. This is God's gift to you. Come and learn by doing, which is always the best way to learn. If you are moved this morning to place your life in the loving arms of Jesus and give yourself to Him, perhaps for the first time, or maybe again, please step forward and we will pray with you and for you as we stand.